a potion, kind one blow up the mind. No trouble, not to test something. Have one are unlike Finn, and then she buy me a diamond ring.
My name is Donald Hall, welcoming each and everyone to the Full Circle Show. I hope you and your family will be blessed this morning. Special greetings goes out to Kaya Kindu and family. My thoughts and prayers goes out to each and everyone in this worldwide pandemic of COVID-19.
There ain't Sister, hey, hey, hey. Thank you. Rockin' Dalle, Mr. Rockin' Dalle. Yes, the rabbi sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, my hand was made strong by the hands of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? All I ever had, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Hey, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom. Yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Hey. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever ask, redemption songs, these songs of freedom. Redemption songs. These songs of freedom. Redemption songs. Oh, redemption songs.
Redemption songs. Songs of freedom.
I'm Dermot Hussey. Welcome to the YouTube channel for the podcast Riffin Radio. In our studios is two-thirds of Jamaica's most famous female vocal trio, the I3, Bob Marley's backing vocals, Marcy Griffiths and Judy Mort. Individually, they've done more singing than most female singers. Marcy, 27 years. Judy, 54 years. Rita, about 40. I spoke to them about their early careers and becoming the I3. Greetings, Marcia and Judy. Welcome to the program. When did you both connect with Rita Marley as singers?
For me, I connected with her. Oh, as singers?
Yes.
Well, I think Miss Jude should answer that one.
Okay, I would say that Marcia and Rita connected before me. But what I want to say is I had a dream in my heart. I wanted to meet Marcia Griffiths and Rita Marley so bad.
Wow.
I didn't know that it was a divine plan of God why I was yearning to just meet them. Well, Mr. Dodd from Studio One called me one evening and he said to me he wanted me to come to the studio to do some background vocals with, he never said with who. So I told him yes. And finally, when I got to the studio, I saw Marcia and I saw Rita.
Wow.
It's not that I saw one of them. I saw both of them. My dreams were fulfilled. It came true. It's only that I never had somebody to just pinch because I was wondering if this was really happening.
Mm.
And the evening, the song that we did, Marcia, I don't know if you remember. I think
no.
It was the guy that sings Skylarkin. I think it was a song he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, Oris. Yes, it was Oris Sandy. Oris Sandy.
Yes, right. And the chemistry between the three of us was so easy. It was so great. It was right. And we did the song. And then Marcia said to us, Rita and I, she has a show at House of Chen down Knutsford Boulevard. That was a little club on Knutsford Boulevard. She invited us to sing with her. So we went. I mean, her favorite group was, Marcia's favorite group was the Supremes. Rita's favorite group was the Supremes. My favorite was the Supremes. It was a Supreme song that Marcia was doing. I think the song was Remember Me. I can't forget it. And we just harmonized as if we've been singing. We were singing for many years.
Just a quick rehearsal, yeah.
Just a quick rehearsal backstage. And trust me, it was.
It sounded so beautiful. And the audience encouraged us to form a group. And we said, well, why not?
That's right.
So I guess after we decided to form the group, it was that's the reason, Dermot, why I usually say coming together as a group was never a coincidence or any mistake or an accident. It was ordained by the Almighty. Because at a particular time when we came together, that was a time when Bob, Peter, and Bunny had a fallout, and three first performers, I think, was at the arena, and Bob heard that we formed the group. So at that time when the three original Wailers had a fallout and he heard that we formed this group, he invited us to come in and do Natty Dread. Right, Judy, that was the first song.
Natty Dread. This first single that we did was Jalif.
No, Jalif came after Natty Dread.
Yeah.
Yeah, Natty Dread was the first single.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Jalif came after his
Majesty's passing.
Correct.
Invited us back in the studio in this Jalif.
That was recorded at Harry J's studio.
Yes, all of those recordings were done at Harry J.
That was the place, yeah.
What was it like for female singers in those days? Because the scene was dominated by men. But how was it for female singers? You had to work harder. What was it like?
Well, of course, it was strictly male dominated. So it was, for me as a solo artist then, it was very uneasy. But thank God that I had met Bob Andy from the beginning, from the get-go. And we became, intimate friends. So he just, I guess God just put him there as a guide to protect, because, you know, as a young girl, you know, you're vulnerable in a male-dominated business. God knows what would have happened if someone was not there. And, you know, he was like a shield, because everybody had to just look and maybe wish and think, you know, but I was protected. So to be there as a young girl in a male-dominated business, it was very, very safe, because Hortense Ellis and myself were the two persons who would do most of the shows in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Dunn was in the stable down by Treasure Isle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a handful of female, you know?
Okay, now that group, the Soulettes, that Rita was a part of, did she form that group?
Yeah, when I went there, she was already in the Soulettes with Precious, Dream, and herself.
The name the I3, who actually came up with that name?
Well, I don't know if Judy will remember, but I remember when I said, let's call ourselves I3. And Sister Rita said, I3. And I said, yes, it's like saying we three, but correct, instead of saying we three is I3. Then Bonnie Whaler endorsed that name. But he, for some reason, I don't know, he kept saying that he named the group, but I never remember anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Had you worked with Bob in any capacity before, recorded with him before the group formed?
Myself, prior to I3's coming together, we had done Rocket Baby.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I came in as the group. I didn't do anything prior to Rita and Marcia. I think Rita and the Soulettes, yes, she and her group, they did, which song was that, Marcia?
With who?
With Bob. I know Rita and our group, they did a song or some songs together, but I don't remember.
No, Rita and Bob did quite a few collabs, you know, like
at Studio One.
Yes, that's the one that I usually do with one of the boys, you know, where the chances are.
Yeah.
Right, she and Bob did that, right.
Yeah, and most of the songs, the earlier songs that Bob did, Rita is on most of them singing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about the other Soulettes.
Once you became the I3, did Bob have a kind of idea how he wanted it to sound? What was it like working with him?
Well, make no mistake, Bob knew exactly what he wanted, the sound that he was looking for, and he found it in the Three Little Birds. So he trusted our judgment and our professionalism as three professional people to decide what we wanted to do, but his ears, I've never known an ears as sharp Bob.
As his, right.
Telling you. So he knew exactly what he wanted, and I think what he heard coming out of us was very, very, very satisfactory.
So he didn't have to push you, because he had already heard the sound that he wanted.
Yes.
The sound that we had.
Mm.
The song that we had was a song that he wanted.
Exactly.
But Marcia, yeah. But you remember when he would listen, because sometimes Bob would not be there when we are in the studio doing the backup.
Right.
The background vocals. He would come in after and listen to it. And most times he would be extremely grateful and pleased with what he heard.
Mm.
But I remember he would normally, Marcia, say to one of us, go back in the studio and do the top harmony.
Yes. Oh, of course, he loved
that. He loved a top harmony.
Fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
When you toured with him for the first time, what kind of impact did the I3 make on the audiences?
Wow, I can remember, and I know Judy remember, if Bob has one or two encores when we are performing on tour, and if I3, I remember one particular night when we did like two encores and the people wouldn't leave and they wanted more, and him turned to us and said, well, I3 is a say, because he know that he's not going out there without I3.
Unless we are there, yes.
So you know what happened? Eventually, he decided that he would allow I3 to open for him on one of his tours that we did. I don't remember what year. So I3 and Bob was like a package, a oneness under one umbrella, because we open the show and then after we do a couple of songs for ourselves, you know, we would go to the side and here comes the master.
So in the by the time you came around to 1980, which was the final tour, you had already had your own show doing that, where you'd perform as a group and then soloists individually.
Yes.
He gave us that opportunity, because prior to that, there usually be other opening acts. I remember Betty Wright, one year Marcel, was an opening act for him. You remember?
Yes. Steel Pulse too.
Steel Pulse. But 1980 was when Bob decided he's not working with another opening act. He would prefer to work with his group, I3. And so they allowed us to open for Bob. I mean, that was an awesome opportunity, an awesome privilege for us.
So we
would do like an individual song. Each of us would do an individual, and then we do a group song. And the audience enjoyed it. I think that was how we were known, because those audience were like 80,000, 100,000 people.
That's right. So
can you imagine the opportunity that we have to be presented, to get that exposure for the group? And as individuals too.
So when you did your individual shows, did you do more than one song? And did the musicians have to learn that song as well? Because it wasn't part of Bob's program.
Of course,
We had to rehearse with the group, with the band.
To do your individual songs.
To do our individual songs and a group song. Our group song was Precious World, a song called Precious World. I don't think that song has been released in Jamaica, but it was a beautiful song and the audience loved it. And I think, Marcia, you did Stepping Out of Babylon.
Yeah.
I did Slave Queen. And Rita did a Jaja.
That's the way
Jaja planned it.
You had also started an album. You started an album that Bob was producing. Whatever became of that album? An album with the I3.
We have two albums that was released. One that was produced by Tom Bell, and the other one was I3 Sings Bob Marley.
And the beginning.
It's three
albums.
So which one was Bob producing then? Was Bob producing one of those albums?
No.
Okay.
Because in an interview I did with Rita in 1980, she said that they started an album which Bob was producing. So I wonder what became of it. Because I suspect it would have been the entire group being produced by Bob.
I don't know about that one, Dermot.
No.
Okay. If one was to
ask... It was in the making, but it never materialized.
If I was to ask you, what was the greatest moment for the group as this amazing female group? How would you describe that?
Wow, that is not easy at all, because having spent such a long time on such a long journey with such a man, I cannot imagine a one moment or
it's many.
Every day was an experience.
Yeah.
A different experience, mm-hmm. a beautiful experience, because this man could never run out of amazement that you would look and say, wow. That's the reason why I always say I am happy that I gave him flowers while he was alive, because I've never seen one like that, so, you know, unique.
And
so I recognize him from that time, and the fact that he's the one who opened my eyes to realize that the music was not just entertainment, because Judy will tell you, we don't know anyone that took his music the way old Bob took his music serious. Mm-hmm. Nothing came before his music. Nothing. Absolutely. No money, no food, nothing. His music was his life.
That's so true. That's so true. And the people yes. were his life. The music was for the people. And I think when he thought of his music, he thought of the people. I don't know if he thought of the people internationally, but the music had its way in every nation. I remember someone saying Indira Gandhi from India, Prime Minister of India, former Prime Minister of India, that her music was Bob Marley's music. Her favorite singer was Bob Marley. And I don't even think Bob knew the influence that he had on so many people.
That was a global thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Marcy and Judy, I want to thank you so much for these memories. They're so rich and wow. Thank you so much.
It's priceless, you know, really.
Good to see you both. And keep singing. I know Marcia done 57 years. Judy, I think you're at about 54 and going strong same way.
Yes.
Well, we have to give God thanks.
What I want to say, Sir Dermot, I want to give Almighty God, as Marcia just said, give him the glory, give him the honor, give him the praise.
Yes,
because he was the one that endowed us with the gift of music. And everybody has, you know, they will say Marcia Griffiths, and they will say Bob Marley, they will say Judy Moore. But nobody knows that the music without God, without the talent that God put in us. I didn't even know when I was a child that I was called to take music, you know, to the rest of the world with Bob Marley. None of us knew that. But that was a plan that the Almighty God had. And so it was fulfilled in us. And I am really grateful that I was called to be alongside the mission that God
gave to Bob. Amen. Amen. Yes. And I would add to that to say that that is one of the reasons why, in as long as I'm alive, I will continue to beseech to all the singers and the players, as we know God calls upon the singers and players, I will continue to beseech to everyone to make positive contribution to teach and educate and uplift through the medium of the music, because this is what it's all about. It's through the music that we have to educate the world and unite the world. It's our greatest weapon that we have today. So I want to beseech everyone who is a part of this to just make positive contribution, especially for this generation today. We need the music to send the right message. And if God give us a talent, there's no way that we should be doing anything that is negative, using it for any negative, you know.
That's right.
So we have to we have to know what we are doing in this time, because if we are not aware, especially in this day and time that we are living in, we have to just hold on to this music and make sure we are uplifting and educating through the music. This is our only way to communicate and to connect to the world and its people.
The world, yeah.
You know?
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you too, Dermot.
Thank you for having us.
I hope to do it maybe again and on another level, because it's rich. Thank you.
As Rob says, so much things to say right now. Yes. And I just want to big up my sister. I want to big up Sister Rita always and forever. The love is just always there. We call her the mother hen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Queen Bee.